It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
What's up?
How you doing?
I'm feeling good today.
Good.
I'm feeling good today.
You've been a little under the weather the last few episodes, so you sound much clearer now.
Oh, I'm back. Yeah. I am way back.
Nice. What was the tip to get, you know, full health again?
Oh, these, you know, horse-size antibiotics. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
So my wife says all the time, I'm sick dumb.
Who?
My wife says I'm sick dumb, which means like I don't know how to be sick.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Terrible.
Yeah, like she said, you know, I've seen you have three surgeries and you're back to work the next day, but like you get sick and you're useless.
Just a dump. I know. I think it might be a dude thing. I'm not sure, but it's like it's the worst thing in the world. Like if I have like a cold, like I think it's never going to go away. I can't breathe, and I'm just like a man. It's not good.
Well. And I thought, you know, a sinus infection is like a cold. Like, you just let it, you ride it out, and it'll go away. Apparently, that doesn't happen.
No, that'll linger there, like the Cranberry song. It will certainly linger. Well, guess what, Ryan?
Yeah. I don't have to let it linger, is the thing.
No, you don't. Please don't. Yeah. Now, I'm glad you took those pills, and you're back to 100%. Good news is this, Ryan. You're a big hockey fan. I'm a big hockey fan. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin this week, so we figured no better time than to break out a hockey movies episode. We've surprisingly never done this before.
No, and I'm surprised that when you mention it, I'm like, haven't we done that? And we have not.
I know we've done football, we've done basketball, I believe, or no, maybe not basketball. We've done baseball and football. Maybe basketball we'll have to add to the list at some point. So hockey coming up, but first let's get to the news and the notes. Quick look at the box office first from this past weekend, Ryan. A Quiet Place, the horror movie from John Krasinski starring he and his wife Emily Blunt, $50 million took the top spot. And this is a movie that I've not seen yet, but I think I'm definitely going to have to see it, and maybe even this week.
Oh, yeah, you got to see it. And from what I'm hearing, rave reviews.
It's like through the roof.
Crazy good reviews.
People are
like
loving
it. Get out level stuff.
Yeah. People are nuts. And I know our buddies Mac and Goo did an episode. So if you've seen it, maybe check out their episode over on Mac and Goo podcast. I don't think we're going to do a standalone on this, but it's definitely worth seeing. I'm very intrigued by it. And even my wife said that she would want to see it. So maybe that's going to be something that we do this week. Ready Player One finished second with $25.1 million. And then Cock Blockers came in third, 21.4, which is also getting pretty good reviews, the John Cena movie.
Yes. Yes, it is. Leslie Mann. Is that a Judd Apatow joint?
It's a good question. Anytime you see Leslie Mann, you probably have to assume
and
it's
John
Judd
Cena.
Apatow. And John Cena. It could be, which means it would also be 2.5 hours long.
He didn't direct it or write it, but he's got some like executive producer credit on it.
Yeah, oh yeah, probably. And then Chappaquiddick finished seventh.
Oh, great.
People aren't really all about Chappaquiddick. I thought maybe
you were in the movie draft, which surprised me.
I took it in the movie draft. Well, I thought it was going to get better Rotten Tomatoes score than it did. It's like hovering in the high 70s right now. I thought it'd be better.
Where do we stand with that whole thing, by the way?
Yeah, so we did a movie draft with Mac and Goo, the Boxers, and us, and it's based on box office money combined with Rotten Tomatoes score, both critics and audience alike. And it's way too early to tell. Mac and Goo have Black Panther, so they're killing everybody.
Yeah.
They also have Infinity War, so I feel like they're just going to win.
And just so we're clear, you participated in a movie draft.
My
name was attached to it, but I had nothing to
do with it. But let's also make it clear that you were invited for said movie draft.
I was.
Okay. I think we're going to do okay, because we have Ant-Man and the Wasp, we have Deadpool 2, we have the Jurassic World sequel, we have a couple of other things. So
we get some late additions. We'll be all right.
Yeah, we got some summer movie blockbusters coming your way. We have a little movie called Rampage, Ryan. Ever hear of that?
I know.
Tyler Perry's Acrimony did not help us. Turns out nobody saw it, and it's terrible. So that's a shame.
Great.
Hey, speaking of movies that might be terrible, did you see the new Solo, a Star Wars trailer?
See, I don't think this is going to be terrible. I think this is going to be good.
I think it's going to suck out loud.
I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, and people were really excited about the trailer, and they're like, oh my God, this is going to be great. I'm like, I don't know, man. Suicide Squad had a badass trailer, so get out of here. Last Jedi had a great trailer.
You're right.
So, I don't know. I just think can all of the other characters carry the film? Because I think the dude who plays Solo is going to be terrible. And it's not all his fault. It's just he's trying to play younger Harrison Ford. Like, good luck, bro.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I think it's going to be trash. But
you got Mother of Dragons, Emilia Clarke. She's in it.
I do like her. Lando's going to be great, obviously.
He's going to steal the show. Donald Glover's going to steal this movie.
Well, you know what it should have been? Lando, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, I know.
And then have like a little bit of Han Solo. And then so if he's good, like great, a little bit more intrigue. And if he's bad, no big deal because Lando's the star. It should be a Lando movie.
Yeah. I like Woody Harrelson in kind of like this mentor role.
Yeah, is he playing the same character he did in Hunger Games?
Basically.
Yeah. Interesting. It's a shared universe, maybe?
Nothing against Peter Mayhew, but now we have a new guy playing Chewbacca, and I guess I did a little digging, Richard.
Okay.
And this guy's a 7-foot Finnish basketball player.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
He's an athlete. So you notice in the trailer, Chewie scrapping it up a little bit.
I like it.
You know, body slamming people, you know, so that was that was pretty good.
They say he's
need a Chewbacca who can move.
There's some sort of, you know, post-move, no finish joke in there somewhere, but I can't find it.
He's from Finland, but whether or not that's a country or not,
that's still very much up in the air. It's highly debatable on whether or not Finland exists. So you're in on Solo. That's next month. May's a busy ass month for us.
What am I going to do after? I'm going to have like a Avengers hangover. I need to see something, right?
You know what? In hindsight, we really should have pushed for was like a movie theater sponsor because I'm spending too much money on movie tickets recently.
Oh my god! Right.
Anyway, how about some TV news here, Ryan? Carl Urban has been cast as Billy Butcher in The Boys on Amazon.
Carl Urban. Is he not Australian? He is, right?
No, I would assume so. He was in
Carl
Thor.
Urban,
yeah.
Like that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I like my Australian accent.
Do it one more time.
Carl Urban.
Oh yeah, that is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we can do Australian accents.
We can.
Okay.
That's not racist or anything.
No, I don't think so. But how about this? So you get The Boys is going to be on Amazon. It's a Garth Ennis graphic novel. It's awesome. If you haven't read The Boys, read The Boys.
Are they going to get Simon Pegg?
They really should.
They should. The character is drawn to look like him.
It looks exactly. Yeah, right. It's based off of Simon Pegg. What else is Simon Pegg doing? Like another Star Trek sequel?
Well, God knows he wasn't in fucking Ready Player One.
he was at one day of shooting on Ready Player One. So hopefully he's in The Boys. Speaking of Garth Ennis, Preacher Season 3 is going to debut on June 24th.
Awesome.
I think Season 2 we both thought was better than Season 1, so that's good news.
Yep.
And then FX ordered a pilot for Why the Last Man. That's a Brian K. Vaughan graphic novel.
And a good one, too.
It's really good. And it's done, too. So it's one of these ones where if you start it right now, you can read the whole thing. You don't have to worry about it going on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever like The Walking Dead. You can pick up the Why the Last Man, which is really good. I'm looking forward to that.
Which, just to give, if you haven't heard of it, it's basically set, it's a science fiction kind of thing, but in the future, everyone is female. Like, all the men died.
Yeah.
Or all the men can't reproduce or something like
no,
that.
No, there's one guy left, and it's
there's one guy
left. I mean, yeah, and so he...
Which is like the Y chromosome, and so all the women are, like, after him.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
It's crazy. Yeah, and remember, this was supposed to become a movie with, like, Shia LaBeouf was attached to it for, like, a long time. Remember that?
Yeah, I could actually...
They
I'm not a huge
it.
Shia LaBeouf fan, but he
well,
actually...
this was like post-Transformers. This is like, he was kind of a hot ticket.
He's a good actor. He's a little bit of a weirdo, but he's a good actor, and he'd be good in that role, too.
Yes.
Last bit of news before we get to the video game minute. Did you watch the Paterno movie on HBO?
I did not. And I for the life of me, I don't understand what Al Pacino has been doing for like the last 5 years. Because it seems to me the only thing he's doing is like these HBO movies where he plays like
fucked up
old guys.
No, I'll tell you who he plays. He plays Al Pacino. He plays Al Pacino in every fucking movie that he's in.
He's just in the hoo-ah.
Yeah. And so he looks kind of like Joe Paterno. Like they put the makeup on him, they put the glasses on him, and they throw like a Penn State sweater on him. So you're like, oh, that's Joe Paterno. But then he just talks like Al Pacino. It's like some actors make the choice. They're like, I'm just going to fucking talk like I talk. And you're like, okay. But then you see other actors who completely morph, like Gary Oldman and Daniel Day-Lewis. And these guys are like, I'm going to completely change my voice and sound like them. I'm like, there's enough video tape of Joe Paterno. He has a kind of a unique voice, right? Like, we've all heard it. It's kind of like a higher pitch. He's got an accent to it.
It's kind of like, nyeh, nyeh, nyeh. He's got like that old cranky guy voice.
Yeah, he sounds like a bitch. And so... Al Pacino sounds like Al Pacino, and you're like, okay.
Well, you remember too, like I said, he played Jack Kevorkian.
Right.
You don't know Jack, which was an HBO movie. He played Phil Spector in the Phil Spector movie, and now he's playing Joe Paterno in a Joe Paterno movie for HBO. All for HBO. Like, what are you doing?
I don't get it. I mean, maybe they signed him. They signed his exclusive rights.
But it's like basically like the same movie. Like, you're just a creepy old guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
like
anyway,
who has fallen from grace? Now, here's an idea, Richard, for a possible future show.
Okay.
Worst best actors.
Oh.
Like people who you considered to be like the best actors in Hollywood who now stink.
I think it's Al Pacino and it's not even close.
He's up there.
Best worst actors or worst best actors or just like overrated actors.
Exactly.
Because Al Pacino, man, like I got in an argument a while ago with Michael Holly when he still worked here and we were talking about Al Pacino versus Robert De Niro.
The guy who was sitting in my seat?
The guy who was keeping your seat warm?
Yeah.
I like lost my mind. Like he's like, he thinks Al Pacino's better than Robert De Niro. And I'm like, that's not even up for debate.
Not even close.
Like, no matter what you're talking about, if you're talking comedy, drama, in their prime, post-prime, like whatever, wherever you want to talk about, De Niro is better than Pacino. But anyway, that might be a whole set. We could do a De Niro v. Pacino, although it would be very one-sided on this podcast.
It'd be pretty one-sided because I'm on your side.
Yeah. All right. And the other HBO thing is tonight, well, we're recording this on a Tuesday, so tonight the Andre the Giant documentary comes out, which I'm excited for.
I'm excited for this.
That's going to be badass.
I'm really excited for this.
I'm pumped.
What a fascinating guy, you know?
He really is. And, like, they... Looks like they're talking to all the right people, too. Like, they're getting the wrestling world, but they're also getting the movie world. Like, Billy Crystal's in it, and Carl Reiner, so...
And his daughter, like, talks about it for, you know?
Yeah, so it's going to
be good.
Going to be pretty good. All right, are you ready for your portion?
Yes.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, what do you have?
So what I have for you first, Richard, is this, you know, Video Game Minute, as the last two have been brought to us by Illusion, the great people at Illusion Grips. Go follow them at Illusion Grips on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure you give them a shout. Go to their website, buy some grips for your controllers. If you're anything like me, I wear these things. I've gone through 3 PlayStation controllers already, like the thumb pads.
Oh,
have you ripped yours yet?
Goodness, no, but now that you mention it, I probably will soon.
Yeah, they'll probably rip soon because you're rough on them. I hear you banging them around a little bit.
Well, only when things aren't going well, which is about every night.
Which is about, yeah. So get this in terms of video game news. Grand Theft Auto 5 is back in the news, Richard.
Ooh.
It has just become the best-selling media property in the history of the world.
Really?
Adjusted for inflation, it is more profitable than any book, movie, album, any type of media. It is now the most profitable piece of media in the history of the world.
Is the Bible media?
Yeah, but those you can get for free. So when you're talking about, it's the most profitable. It has generated $6 billion in revenue.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
The game's amazing. I mean, the game really is just incredible.
And people are still playing that game. It's like 5-6 years old, and people are still playing that game.
Like, it might be the closest thing to a perfect game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The only thing, so Star Wars technically has generated more if you count merchandise.
Yeah.
But it has made, the Star Wars movies themselves, it has made more money than those.
Holy smokes.
Which is nuts to think about.
Is there going to be a Grand Theft Auto 6?
Well, they're doing Red Dead is coming out in the fall.
Oh, that's
right.
So
that's like Cowboy Grand Theft Auto, which I am incredibly excited for.
All right, if you could only play Red Dead 2 or the new Spider-Man game, what would it be?
Oh, why are you doing that?
I ask the hard questions on this podcast.
Don't put that evil on me. Well, so speaking of that, so that was my next bit of
news. Are you going to answer that question or no? Probably not.
I don't think I can because Red Dead Redemption is probably one of my favorite games ever.
Then there you go.
And I hope that Spider-Man becomes one of my favorite games ever. But the big news out of that camp, see, that's called a segue.
Oh, that's called avoiding the question.
No, I said I didn't. Yeah, I didn't.
You didn't answer it.
I'm going to have to say Red Dead now because I haven't played the other one yet.
All right,
so
fair enough.
That answer could, but that could change.
It's pending. I got it, but at least you're on the record right now.
Yeah, saying that if I would rather play a game that I played and loved and or not play a game that I haven't played yet, I mean, that's kind of a silly question.
All right, well, here's the second follow-up question. Let's say you get both of them on the same day. Which one do you pop in first?
Spider-Man.
Okay. All right.
That's an easy one.
Okay.
So, speaking of that, out of PAX East, right ahead of PAX East, I was tweeting the shit out of this. I was tweeting them. I was tweeting my boy Eric Monticelli at Marvel Games. They finally put a release date on this thing, which is September 7th, I believe.
Yeah.
I already got it pre-ordered.
Nice.
It's already pre-ordered. It's already got it.
There you go.
So I'm really excited about that. They've been showing a lot of gameplay, and the what they really wanted to nail, and I hope they did, was the web swinging. Because remember the old games, the Activision games? Like, that was the most fun part.
Yeah, it was great.
Was just zipping around the city. So they were showing some of that off, and it looks actually really cool, really smooth. So I'm really excited to see that. Some other PAX East highlights. There was a game I played called Guacamelee, which is like basically like Nacho Libre and Coco in a video game.
Okay.
And then Guacamelee 2 is coming out, and it looks really cool. So I'm looking forward to playing that. God of War is coming out at the end of this month, the 20th, on 420, man.
Nice.
So that's cool. And the last bit of that, I finished Far Cry 5, by the way.
Did you?
I finished that, so I'm done with it, yeah.
There's still a ton of commercials. You see more commercials on TV for Far Cry 5 than, like, any game in the longest time.
It crushed sales this month.
Yeah.
It was, like, all over it. But it is bananas fun.
Is it the best Far Cry?
It's the most fun. It's not my favorite. Far Cry 3 is still my favorite one.
Okay.
This one's the most fun.
All right.
So that's what I got. And I'm adding a new little segment here. So Fortnite news, because that's all anyone ever cares about anymore.
People are all over Fortnite still.
People are all over this.
Yeah.
So there's been rumors that an asteroid is going to hit Tilted Towers and just wipe it off the map.
That's what I heard, too, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the idea is that, like, it's basically Tilted Towers is basically breaking the game. Like, you can't. Like you go on your float, and everyone lands in Tilted, and by the time you hit the ground, there's like 30 people left.
Yeah, they've all killed themselves there. I never go there. I just float around the outside. It's very relaxing.
So you've divided the game in half by having it there, because half the people go there, half the people avoid it at all costs.
Right.
So it's really a 50-person game instead of a 100-person game.
That's true. But it's got to feel pretty good. Like, if you are the lone survivor of Tilted Tower, you got to feel pretty good about yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So they're going to do that. So that's kind of like the next update that they're teasing right now. Similarly, the studio that made Lawbreakers, which is a game made by Cliffy B, formerly of Epic Games, who makes Fortnite, they're releasing a game called Radical Heights, which is basically a knockoff of Fortnite. But
all right,
it looks very similar.
Interesting.
So it's a knockoff of a knockoff.
Is it going to be free like that, like Fortnite?
It's going to be free. It's a battle royale game that's free. So what I'm hearing, so that's coming out. So basically, Fortnite was a knockoff of PUBG, and now Radical Heights is now a knockoff of Fortnite.
There we go.
They're trying to capitalize on this whole thing.
Round and round.
Yeah, and the PUBG people are now starting to get their own players back, their old players back, by adding, like, fun game modes.
Okay.
Like, temporary game modes that Fortnite does, so they're actually starting to add those, which is nice, though. PUBG's back swinging again, but
nice.
That was well over a minute.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is over a minute. I've heard.
Yeah, that's a lot of news.
That's fine. Are you ready though for the topic du jour?
Yeah, I'm ready for whatever this is.
Well, it's the topic of the day, and today it is hockey movies. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through all these hockey movies in chronological order. We're going to then say what our favorites are, what the best are, what the worst is, and then we may even pick a fictional lineup. Maybe do like a quick draft, and we can each have our own lineup, and we can see who has the better squad based off of players. So let's begin. And really, we're starting with the best movie. Like, there's just no getting around that. 1977's Slapshot, a failing ice hockey team finds success using constant fighting and violence during games.
I mean, this, like you said, this is kind of the gold standard.
Yeah.
Of hockey movies?
Yes.
There will never be anything as good as Slapshot. Just like, you talk about golf movies. Like, people will say there's nothing ever going to be as good as Caddyshack, like, ever.
Right.
Even though, critically speaking, that movie's not that good. But it is a funny movie. It's a classic movie. And there are some gaps in Slapshot, too. But what they nail is that every hockey player trope is, like, represented like in this movie.
They're all and there. Yeah, you're right.
And they're all there. And it's just like the stuff that's away from hockey in this movie is like even funnier than the hockey stuff. Like away from the Hansen Brothers stuff, like just the with the fashion show. Like
yeah,
that's like one of, and you know, with Denis Lemieux doing the icing at Ben, like right at the beginning of the movie, like that's one of the funniest hockey scenes in motion picture history.
And like when Denny, the goalie, when
yeah.
he's doing the talk show and he's explaining yeah. to the host about what's a penalty and what happens, it's as good as it gets in any of these movies that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and it's the first scene of the movie, so you know
you're in for it like, right away.
Yeah.
And then obviously Paul Newman's great as Reg Dunlap. Who's
yep.
a guy like way past his prime? So as you said, it hits
all
the. Yeah, he's a player coach. It
yep.
hits all of the, and it's a lot of these movies too. You notice it's like minor league hockey. It's like maybe you
yeah.
can get more personality out of that or something. I don't know if it had anything to do with copyrights or whatever. But they start with this. It's certainly become a cult classic. It's not just the best hockey movie. It's on the short list of best sports movies, obviously of
oh,
all
absolutely.
Time.
And absolutely,
it's funny. Like the characters are really good. I would look for when we do our draft, Ned Braden. Probably going to be up there pretty high.
He's on my list. He's a high draft pick. An educated guy, you know, skilled
yeah.
player.
And yeah. fun fact about him, the leading scorer of the Federal League.
How about that?
So you add that to it. But they have a bunch. And, like, I think the Hansen brothers get so much of the attention. And, like, when people reference Slapshot, they say Hansen brothers. But there's a lot of other really good characters in this.
Oh, so many good characters.
And so
many good characters.
So this movie is obviously great. So let's start. We got Slapshot on the list, and it's funny because there really wasn't a hockey movie prior to that, and then after that, it took 9 years to make another one. So it was almost like we're not going to top Slapshot. Like if we even go near hockey, like what are we doing? But the
it's so funny because like hockey changed. You know, like when I grew up playing hockey, and anyone who grew up playing hockey will tell you, like in the last 10 years, like it went from hockey was a very like blue collar sport. Like in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, and I remember like all my, you know, growing, all my rich friends played basketball and like I played hockey, you know what I mean?
Which but doesn't make a lot of sense because hockey equipment
sense,
is expensive and basketball's not.
But it, yeah, but now, that's what I'm saying, like now,
oh,
like
now
hockey equipment is oh, stupid.
Yeah, it's insane.
$1,000 for a pair of skates.
It flipped. So now you go, jump 9 years, 1986, Youngblood. A skilled young hockey prospect hoping to attract the attention of professional scouts is pressured to show that he can fight if challenged during his stay in a Canadian minor hockey town. His on-ice activities are complicated by his relationship with the coach's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And Youngblood, of course, is named after Dean Youngblood,
yep.
who was played by Rob Lowe.
It was played by a very – yeah, so basically you take the movie The Outsiders and put them in hockey equipment, and that's basically what this movie is.
Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves are all in this movie.
Oh, and Keanu plays the goalie. It was his first role. He plays the goalie.
Yes.
And Patrick Swayze is the wily captain of the team, Derek Sutton.
Derek Sutton, who also has got to be one of the best fictional players of all time.
Yeah, he's on. Yeah, don't you steal him in our draft, too.
I think I might. Now, so the deal with him is he had a head injury, which
yep.
sort of paves the way for Dean Youngblood. But Derek Sutton, when he was 18 in this in juniors, he had a 92-goal season.
That's
fucking bananas. So
that's, yeah.
And, like, the Patrick Swayze, like, think about mid-80s Swayze, like, with his hair, like, perfect hockey casting.
Oh yeah,
he's awesome.
He gets hurt by Carl Racky, which is another great hockey name.
Carl Racky,
the goon of the league, which then Dean Youngblood has to fight at the end of the movie.
Oh, it's great.
Stand up for himself because he's a bit of a pretty boy. You know, he's a bit of that first line pretty boy skill guy. You know?
Oh, of course. So how does Youngblood stack up? Because I feel like it's a forgotten sports movie.
It's a little too dramatic at
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
Which is fine, and the relationship with the coach's daughter is something to behold, but it kind of takes away from a little bit of the movie. The funniest part of that movie, they have the billet mother, or was it Miss McGill? So they have tea with Miss McGill.
Yes.
Miss McGill asks them to tea, and she just basically like bangs the whole hockey team, which is awesome.
Not bad.
Pretty good. I do have some, I'll tell you off the air, I do have some guys I played juniors with who were with their billet family got a little fresh.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure they did. Why not?
So, that happened.
Why not? So Youngblood. Now jump ahead. I don't know if this counts or not, but it's on our list. 1992's The Cutting Edge. A temperamental figure skater and a former hockey player try to win Olympic gold as a figure skating pairs team.
Wow. What a just a dumpster fire of a movie.
Just
and I'll tell you this right now. You know who's not on my list for fictional hockey players? What's his name? Doug
something. Yeah, D.B. Sweeney, whoever.
Yeah, played by D.B. Sweeney.
He and so one of my ex-girlfriends, this was like her, one of her favorite movies of all time. And so.
Yeah. Doug Dorsey.
Hence ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
See you later.
That same year. So we're going to just throw that to the side, but we're mentioning it. Also 1992, The Mighty Ducks. A self-centered Minnesota lawyer is sentenced to community service coaching a ragtag youth hockey team.
Just that, what a fun little movie this is.
Unbelievable.
You know what I mean?
Awesome.
What
awesome.
A fun movie.
Like for youth sports, I mean, you have like the Sandlot, you have Little Giants, you have, you know, there's a few others like, you know, Major League and Little Big League and like these ones, but Mighty Ducks you could put right up there with any of them and maybe it's the best.
And it's probably, I think it's one of the first, one of these first of like kids and sports movies, because then you remember that was like the Mean Green, or they had like the soccer one, and then you said they had the Sandlot, and then they had Little Giants, so I think
then of course
they were
they
trying
had,
to capture like what the Mighty Ducks did.
They had the Air Bud series.
Yeah. and what Angels in the Outfield?
Those were terrible. But Mighty Ducks was great, and the sequel, D2, The Mighty Ducks. But
don't, now slow down. Slow down.
Whoa.
We're not getting there yet.
All right. Just stick on Mighty Ducks then. So you have a young Pacey playing Charlie Conway, who's sort
Charlie
of the
the
heart and soul of the team. Not the most skilled gentleman out there, but the heart and soul of the team. Adam Banks is clearly the best player. A little bit of a puss, if we're being honest.
A bit of a cake eater, as they would call him in this movie.
A little bit of a cake eater. Fulton Reed, who
just
later went on.
Just a boomer from the point.
Who later went on to be a terrible lawyer in the Netflix MCU.
The biggest kid in Mighty Ducks with the absolute clap bomb from the shoot is now a short, fat, tubby lawyer in Daredevil.
Who just gets pushed around. He sucks now.
Yeah.
You have Greg Goldberg when he was still a goalie. Kind of a little spoiler. He's not always a goalie later on. And then obviously Emilio Estevez, Gordon Bombay as the coach. And sort of on the, you know, what could have been for him, you know? Like he really should have been playing with Mike Modano in the NHL.
And I'm telling you right now, who's not going to get drafted in this thing is D.B. Sweeney and Emilio for being the worst on-screen hockey players ever.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. He can't skate for shit.
No, he can't. But
no.
And then
not the worst hockey player on film, but he's up
but
there.
Also a fun story with peewee hockey and the whole – like we've all played youth sports, and there is that bullshit about like, well, where do you live? Like what town are you in? And like what part of town are you in? And like you get divided all around. So – that shit with Adam Banks is a classic. And so many other movies and like TV shows have done that same kind of shit after the fact. Let's go to D2, The Mighty Ducks, 1994. Gordon Bombay is forced to withdraw from the minor hockey league with a knee injury. Much to his surprise, he is given the job of coach of Team USA Hockey for the Junior Goodwill Games in California. With most of the Ducks and a few new players in tow, he sets forth for L.A., all appears to be going well for a while, but the hype of Hollywood starts to get to Gordon, and he is distracted when Iceland, the favorites to win the title, appear on the scene. That's right, hockey power Iceland.
Where the fuck is? Where's Canada? Where's Russia? Where's Finland? Where is any every team they play? Like it's not a hockey country.
There's literally like eight countries you could pick, and it would be fine. Like you just named a bunch of them, but like if you said. I don't know, 1994, was that Czechoslovakia? You could have gone with Finland, Sweden.
You could go with
Switzerland. All these ones. So Iceland, it does introduce us to Gunnar Stahl, though. Gunnar Stahl is a badass.
Gunnar Stahl. And the trainer from, you know, what was the coach's name, too? The coach had, like, some, like, weird
Oh, he
name.
Was a badass, too. He was good.
Yeah, no, Gunnar Stahl was the hot shot. And then, which also introduced us to Julie the Cat Gaffney, which with the hot glove.
Who is a better goaltender than Goldberg.
Yeah.
And it's not even close. You also get Dean Portman, so that sort of gives Fulton Reed, you get the Bash Brothers now.
Yep.
You
I get think that Luis, kid's in jail now. I'm not even kidding.
Dean Portman is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's not in jail.
Goldberg definitely got he got sent up the river. But I honestly
Goldberg.
Think the guy,
oh, I thought you said
no,
Portman.
The guy who played Dean Portman's in jail.
No, I think he's married to somebody. He's married to, like, Idina Menzel or something.
We'll edit that in post. We'll get it figured out. We can do some fact checking there.
Yeah, we'll definitely get back to that. You get the knuckle puck. You got Keaton Thompson's first movie as Russ Tyler. He's in the house.
Oh, he's in. Isn't he? He's bringing the sass.
You like Kenny? You like Kenny Wu? You like?
I don't like Kenny Wu.
You like Luis Mendoza?
I do. Benny the Jet.
There you go.
He just made a career as a child actor as the fast guy. Huh?
He's fast. Yeah, he stole home in a big league game once.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But D2, I think the Iceland thing is dumb as hell, but it's a fun movie, and it, I think it could be even better than the first one.
Yeah.
You're not going to go that far.
I don't know about that. No, I'm not going to be. All right. Iceland thing did it for me. In the Trinidad, they had like the weirdly racist like Caribbean team. With the tie-dye, banging steel drums on the bench. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a little silly, but there's a lot of good stuff. And I remember seeing this in the theater however old I was, and it was a blast. And it's a good.
And by the way, a little league rule, Richard.
Yeah.
You can't come out in the third period with different uniforms. That's a forfeit, by the way. You can't do that.
They're going to get you for that every time.
One of the things that always bothered me is that everyone, so it said like Conway on like the back, or like Goldberg, you know, like on the back of his jersey. And Fulton Reed said Fulton, his first name. It always bugged the shit out of me. So if you go
that
watch
sucks.
D2, it says Fulton on the back of his
jersey. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I don't like that. All right, before we get to the final part of their trilogy there, in 1995, we have a little movie called Sudden Death. A former fireman takes on a group of terrorists holding the vice president and other hostages during the seventh game of the NHL Stanley Cup Final.
It's basically The Office. Threat Level Midnight is basically the plot of this movie.
It's basically what this is. Now, this was Penguins.
Jean-Claude.
Yeah, Jean-Claude as Darren McCord. It's Penguins, Blackhawks, Stanley Cup Final, which, first of all, I like, because I feel like some movies like this sometimes don't, like, they don't care about details, and they'll have, like, two, like, Eastern Conference teams in the finals or some bullshit. So at least Penguins Blackhawks could be a final, so that's fine. They have real players. So here's a little trivia question for you. They obviously needed to force overtime to extend the game because the whole building was going to blow up, you know, as soon as the game was over. Do you remember who scored the goal for the Penguins? They were down one in the third period, and a real player scored a goal for them.
A real player. So this is in 95.
And it's a player, a really good player, but he's not synonymous with the Penguins.
So it's not Lemieux or Jagr.
Right.
So it has to be someone like, like Paul Coffey or someone like that. I don't remember.
It was fucking Luke Robitaille. Luke Robitaille, who was great in NHL 95 with the Kings, but I guess he was with the Penguins only for like a couple of years, and then he eventually went back to the Kings, but he was there with them. But this movie is also great because Jean-Claude ends up taking on the goalie pads, so he ends up dressed up as Brad Tolliver, and he makes a save, and he punches out a guy in the Blackhawks. He gets thrown out of the game.
Wasn't there some point there was like a Penguins mascot too? Like there was that was involved somehow.
Yes,
like the movie was ridiculous.
Yeah, the mascot's name is Iceberg, and it was like one of the girls that was like a villain was dressed up as the Penguin to like get somebody. Yeah,
it was
a whole thing.
Like that.
But it was like
ridiculous.
They had all of these. They had the vice president and all these other people being held hostage in like a VIP luxury suite.
Right, like they at least they get free food, get snacks and beers.
This ain't bad. I can watch the game. We got our own bathroom here.
Like you imagine, you're in a luxury suite and be like, "You stay here, don't move," and you're like, "Okay."
I wasn't planning on it. It's game seven.
Not going anywhere.
It's game seven. You kidding me? This is the best.
If I pissed right on the floor, someone would come and clean this up. Like we're good.
So so Sudden Death's on the list. All right, let's wrap up the Mighty Ducks trilogy with D3. The unruly team of hockey misfits grows up a bit and receives scholarships to a prestigious prep school where they take on the snotty varsity team.
The snotty varsity team. Like, I love how you take a gold medal from the junior Goodwill Games, right? An entire team.
A whole team.
Co-ed, mind you.
Correct.
And you make them. There's no women's hockey at this boarding school because that's completely unheard of.
Yeah, that'd be insane to have that in 1996.
Oh yeah, and then you just wholesale them. Now Adam Banks makes varsity, and the rest of you are on the JV team. Then they take on the varsity team and beat them.
I hate this.
Right?
I hate this so much. Can you imagine? So when you were at St. Paul's, if you guys faced the JV team,
not only I'm talking just like. Just physically, emotionally, and spiritually, just like stuffing people into a locker.
Just like visualize that for a moment. Like that would just be.
You know what's funny? Around like high school hockey locker rooms, you talk about that. Like, what would you do if we like played like the JV
team? You played the JV team.
One of our first practices, we would have like the red white game where we would like, it would be like an inter squad. Like it would be all like mixed up. And even then, like that didn't always end well. But you know what the thing? Being in boarding schools now and working in the boarding school world, you know what the first thing that jumped out to me was when thinking about this movie again now as 36 years old, that is a That is a lot of financial aid money to be thrown around.
Oh, yeah, right. They're all those guys are, quote, on scholarship. And they were, they wouldn't be on JV. Like, that's just...
No.
Like, think about it. Like, the good hockey players that go to these prep schools, they're playing right away. Like, you wouldn't waste all this money on the JV team. The JV team are the poor bastards that played and, like, I like hockey. And then they show up to a prep school and they're like, God damn it. Like, these guys are for real. Like, they're all going to play college hockey.
Yeah. Well, most of them.
Well, most of them.
And again, are we need blind? Like, what? These kids aren't filling out FAFSA reports? Like, what's going on?
Well, then the other thing that was so stupid about this movie, too, is the varsity players, they all hated the Ducks for coming in. And part of the reason was they all had, like, younger brothers who got cut from JV to make room for them. And you're like,
Which makes sense. That's an honest-to-God gripe.
I guess.
But not only that, but like...
Come on.
Watch this movie again. Like, all the kids who play, like, for the Ducks, they're assholes.
Yeah,
like,
they are.
All those kids
are
assholes in this movie.
But not to dwell on this, but again, just going back to St. Paul's, for example, how many kids would you say roughly played JV and for like a year or two and then played varsity?
Probably like in my time, I was like 3 or 4.
Yeah, right? Like, and
they would play JV as a freshman because they just like hockey's like baseball. Like if you want to get better, you have to play.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? Like, football, you can stand on the sidelines and not play, and then they'll just throw you in a game somewhere. Like, hockey and baseball, like, you have to play to get better. So, like, those kids who just, you know, if you're going to be on varsity, you're not going to play, so we'd rather have you play a year of JV and actually play a lot.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, goalies, like, you need to see shots to get better.
No, that's true. Yeah, maybe that's a little bit different. But anyway, so this is, so if you had a problem with Iceland, having a problem with these guys winning the Junior Goodwill Games and then not being able to make varsity is just the worst. So
except for Adam Banks. Poor Adam Banks gets the shaft in all these movies.
He's a little soft, though. A little soft.
I know he's soft.
All right, also in 1996, is this a hockey movie? Happy Gilmore.
It's a golf movie. I'm going to call that a golf movie.
Now, the plot is a rejected hockey player puts his skills to the golf course to save his grandmother's house. He led the league in penalty minutes that he played in. He also is the only guy ever to remove his skate and stab someone with it.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of hockey.
There's not a lot of hockey. I think this was just an excuse for Adam Sandler to look like Adam Sandler and just like wear hockey jerseys instead of wearing actual clothing.
That could be. Now, his putter is a hockey stick.
Yeah. And he looks like a 3-year-old like trying to putt like anybody. And you know what's crazy about this is like anyone I know who grew up playing hockey or played hockey for a really long time are all decent golfers.
Yeah, that's true. That one definitely transitions. They are all the worst basketball players and really good golfers.
Yeah, and like you don't have like I don't know like anyone who's like shot a puck before can like swing a golf club.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand why he looks like an idiot doing it.
Well, he wasn't a good hockey player.
He wasn't a good hockey player. It's true. But
all right, so that's probably not a hockey movie. All right, 1999's Mystery Alaska. This comedy is about the residents of a small town who get overexcited when their hockey team gets chosen to host a televised event. I haven't seen this in forever.
And this one is sneaky because you think that this is like a family movie.
Yeah.
And it's not. Like, they have, like, you know, there's, like, you know, it seems that the way they pitched it was, like, oh, you know, it's like kind of like this underdog story that's, like, PG-13 or whatever. And then you have, like, guys banging each other's sisters and, you know, premature ejaculation, nudity, like, all this stuff. Like, it's crazy.
Well, this is a Jay Roach movie, right, who did Austin Powers? Because, like, Mike Myers is in this. He's got a small part, too. And then
they have a hockey fan.
Yeah, oh, he's huge, a Canadian guy. And then they have a tie-in, too, at the end. I guess, spoiler alert, a couple of the guys get contract offers by the New York Rangers.
Yep.
So like they have like the direct tie into the NHL, but add that one. I know a lot of people like Mystery Alaska, so add that.
And this is a great story coming out of here. So actual NHL players, the New York Rangers actually were like showed up to this game and played, like they were on in the movie.
Oh right. That's
and I guess Russell Crowe like fancied him. He like trained to be a hockey player for like 6 months. And
oh
thought
boy.
He was the shit.
Yeah.
And was like taking some liberties with some like NHL players.
Oh boy.
And I guess they just beat the shit out of him. Like anytime, like you, like on film, like him getting hit, like they were actually hitting him, like shooting pucks at him, like
that's
just being
good.
A dick to him.
Good.
Like I forget who told the story. It might have been like Brian Leach or somebody like that. But they were just like not having it with him.
Good. They shouldn't. Yeah. This predated the Gladiator, so he wasn't as big yet.
Yeah. Right.
Slapshot 2: Breaking the Ice comes out in 2002.
Yep, I teased this one a little bit. Probably the worst hockey player ever put on film, Stephen Baldwin.
Stephen Baldwin was on the cover of the tape or the DVD. It says, with the original Hanson brothers still on the same minor league hockey team, the Chiefs are sold to a new owner who gives them a female coach and puts them in a league in which they are to be regularly humiliated by an opposing Harlem Globetrotters-like team.
Yeah, and the commissioner of the league, of course, played by Gary Busey.
Yeah, obviously.
Which, because obviously, why wouldn't it be? You know what I mean? And just, like, just embarrassing. Like, you have, like, guys, like, pantsing referees, like, on face-offs and stuff like this. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's the Caddyshack 2 of hockey.
It is.
Essentially.
Yep, Slapshot 2, Breaking the Ice. There's another Slapshot movie we'll get to in a moment. 2004, though, we get a great one. We got Miracle. And
Miracle.
This obviously is telling the story of Herb Brooks, the player-turned-coach who led the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team to victory over the seemingly invincible Russian squad. So this is based on a true story. They have all the players. They got Kurt Russell as Herb Brooks, who's great. You know, some good moments from Michael Ruzioni. Like, that story had been told, but never in a movie like this. And I thought they did a great job.
They did an awesome job, and I have an awesome anecdote about this movie.
Let's hear it.
I think it's awesome. So,
you
know my brother. So my brother was a theater major. He played college hockey at Manhattanville, and was a theater major. So he was trying to be an actor while also playing Division I hockey. So around the time like this movie's getting made, he had picked up an agent in New York.
Ooh.
So this guy calls him and he says, PJ, they're shooting this movie about the 1980 Olympic team, but the thing is they don't want actors. They want actual hockey players from around, the Massachusetts area and like Minnesota. So you need to go on this audition. Like, basically, you're a shoo-in for this since you are an actor and a hockey player. Like, you need to go to this.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Slept through the audition.
What?
Yeah. Slept through it.
Yeah, because I could definitely see him in this. He would definitely fit right in. I know.
Oh, he would have fit right in.
One of the guys, I forget who it was, he played like his father. Like, he got the role because like it was his dad. And so I forget which player it was. But yeah, because they had to cast the entire team, between the practices
crazy.
And the games and everything else.
And the kid who played Jack O'Callaghan, this kid Mike Mananudo, who passed away recently, pick of the pod.
Yeah.
We grew up playing with him.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, like he's from around, like we played against him growing up, like all growing up.
Nice.
So
this
was my brother's role, and Mike took it. So
that's really a goddamn shame, is what that
yeah.
is. No, but this is, and like when we've talked about other sports movies, like they'll mix in like a true story one that's pretty good, and it's like, you got a real athlete, and it's hard to compare them to some of the fictional ones. So that's why I think it's the first one on our list, right? With all real players,
like real hockey players,
all real dudes. Speaking of a real dude, 2005, The Rocket, a story about Quebec's most famous hockey player, Maurice The Rocket Richard, focusing on the struggles of a French-Canadian in the National Hockey League dominated by Anglophones. What?
Yeah, this is a very like pro-Quebec movie, if you've ever seen it. I saw it's okay. It's not going to, I don't really have anything to say about it.
I can give two poops about Rocket Richard. So
it's not a real struggle. Like, that's not a real thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There are
plenty of French Canadians.
I was going to say, there are people around the world dealing with real struggles. I don't know if that qualifies.
Oh, I speak French and everyone else speaks English because I'm from a weird province in Canada. Like, that's not a real problem.
Yeah,
it's not like you're like Jackie Robinson. You know what I mean?
No, it's not. Yeah, this isn't exactly. This is the 42 of hockey movies, which is not great. Hey, how about this? Slapshot 3, the Junior League, came out in 2008. The Hanson brothers are back, and who better to whip a ragtag youth team into shape for the upcoming championships than the most unpredictable trio ever to strap on skates?
Yeah, and you can't play junior hockey when you're past 21 years old, so I don't know what the Hanson brothers are doing playing junior hockey in their 50s.
That's a bit of a workaround there. I guess they are... I guess they're coaching up a team, but that sucks.
They're wearing. And by the way, the worst hockey gear I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah,
I've only seen the trailer, and I'm like, oh my god,
it's distracting, isn't it? When like they're not wearing. Like, I hate football movies where the shoulder pads are like bigger than like way bigger than the person should be wearing, and the helmet. Like when a position player has a face mask that they wouldn't have, it like drives me nuts.
Oh yeah. Remember that movie Necessary Roughness where they have like those like weird like face masks?
Like it drives me nuts.
Yeah. And by the way, Leslie Nielsen in Slapshot. Free, by the way.
Well, it's a paycheck.
Because why we? Yeah.
2008
was last role.
2008 was a great year for hockey movies, as The Love Guru also came out.
Ugh.
Pitka, an American raised outside of his country by gurus, returns to the States in order to break into the self-help business. His first challenge is to settle the romantic troubles and subsequent professional skid of a star hockey player whose wife left him for a rival athlete.
And Justin Timberlake, with one of the most ridiculous character names in all sports cinema. His name is Jacques Lecoq.
Like, I mean, that alone at least is, I guess, worth mentioning.
This was kind of like the last we've ever heard of Mike Myers, right?
Love Guru, yeah. Well, then he like popped up in Inglourious Basterds, and he like popped up in a couple other things.
But like people, like he's no longer like he was the shit for a while.
Oh yeah, the Austin Powers movies, and then like predating that, Wayne's World and Trek. Oh yeah,
Wayne's World, and then he just like. He's like, let me do the Love Guru, and they're like, okay. And they're like, eh, why don't you take a couple shifts off there, bud.
He'll be back. 2010 brought us Tooth Fairy. A bad deed on the part of a tough minor league hockey player results in an unusual sentence. He must serve 1 week as a real-life Tooth Fairy. This, of course, starring The Rock. As
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's correct.
As the Tooth Fairy and a hockey player. He would be terrifying on skates.
He would be. He'd be. So they call him the Tooth Fairy because he would knock opposing players' teeth out. He was a bit of a goon,
yep.
But another minor league hockey player too. Speaking of minor league hockey, now we got a couple of good ones here to end the list. Goon came out in 2011, labeled an outcast by his brainy family. A bouncer overcomes long odds to lead a team of underperforming misfits to semi-pro hockey glory, beating the crap out of everything that stands in his way. Of course, Sean William Scott plays Doug Glatt, who joins up with the Halifax Highlanders. And this movie is awesome. Like, this is just,
awesome.
I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's, again, what this movie nails, having spent time in the junior hockey world, what this movie does, and I say this to everybody, what they nail, it's like, it's cartoony, but the locker room, in a minor league or junior hockey locker room, they fucking nail it.
Oh, like, it's great. You have the brothers that are just like so like over the top and like dirty, and then you have like the goalie who's so weird. You have like some players that are super quiet, don't say anything, and then some are kind of like follow other guys. You have like the super old guy that like he's just hanging on. Then you have like the young kid who should be in the NHL, but he's not, and like they hit a lot of different. You're right. Like, some of the fighting is so over the top, but like it's great.
It's great, and Sean William Scott does that like doofy role like really well. But like you said, I mean, you have like those weird Russians in the locker room who like don't talk to anybody but just like speak Russian to like themselves.
Yes,
the fucking goalies are always tapped, and then you have like that. You said you have the captain who's been there way too long.
Yeah, right.
And the kid who like follows him around and like tries to do like everything. Like he does, and
when the old guy is doing like the pregame speech and he keeps mentioning how he's going through a divorce.
Yeah.
It's like the funniest thing ever, because he's trying to get the team psyched up for the game, but he's like, and you know, like, I've overcome a lot. Like, you know, my wife's taken everything from me. And then he's like, yeah, and those guys over there that we're playing, three of those guys are also going through a divorce. And then you're like, what? And then he goes, then his little sidekick goes, yeah, we're playing against divorced guys. It's like, it makes no sense. But I was dying laughing listening to that.
Yeah, it was awesome. And the goalie, of course, with the famous line in the movie, two rules of the locker room. Don't touch my fucking Percocets, and do you have any Percocets? Like, two rules in the locker room.
Yeah, and Doug's just like, yeah, okay, like I'll let you know. So he plays a good character. Jay Baruchel, who ends up directing the other one. He wrote this one and directed the sequel. You guys know him from This Is the End and everything else.
Yeah.
He's really good in this as Doug Glatt's friend. Also, Liv Schreiber as Ross Ray, like the guy who's going to be retired, the big goon that's going to be retiring.
Yep.
They're really good. Then Xavier Laflamme, who got a concussion from Ross Ray, and like basically is the Yips now. But he was like the number two overall pick in the NHL, but he's not playing with them. So
he's not panning out.
They have a pretty good. They have a pretty good cast of characters. So that movie's awesome. And then comes the last one on our list, 2017, Goon: Last of the Enforcers. A hockey player plagued by injuries is confronted with the possibility of retirement when a tough new player challenges his status as the league's top enforcer. So they introduce you to Anders Kane. He's the new player whose dad's the owner of the Halifax team, and this guy is like they bill him basically as. I don't even know who you'd compare him to, because he's like one of the best skilled players, but he also just beats the shit out of everybody. He's like the perfect hockey player.
Yeah, he's like the perfect hockey, like a Mark Messier kind of.
Yeah, he's like, in, he's like,
or Cam Neely is another one.
Yeah, maybe he's like a Cam Neely,
Milan Lucic kind of player.
I would say Lucic if he could score more. Like,
well, I think he did. I mean, he had some seasons where he scored.
He had
a lot
30
of goals,
goal season, yeah. And so that's how they kind of build this guy. What I also like in this movie is T.J. Miller plays one of like the TSN like Sports Center guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, so it's just on regular TV, but he swears all the time, and it's just like fine. And like that co-host like can't believe all the stuff that he's saying. Like, it's really funny.
Fun story too. So in the original Goon, when Jay Baruchel's doing like his radio show,
yeah. Oh,
the guys running the booth. What's that?
Was it Hot Ice or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The guys running the booth or producing the show are the Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah,
that's funny.
So that's a little fun little thing.
That's not bad. This movie though, kind of drove me nuts. Like, there was a lot of stuff that was like, I know it's stupid. Like, they're both stupid, but Goon, I would say, is like a really good movie. This one was not a good movie. Like, there's funny things, but. Now, one of the things they have, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if these exist, but they have these former hockey players that literally just do hockey fights on the ice. There's no way that's a real thing, is it?
It's not. It's a little bit more nuanced than that. So basically what you have is, like, you have your goal scorers, you know, your Xavier Leflemmes and, you know, and your Ned Bradens, but in order to... for those guys to do what they do, you need guys who can protect them. There's, like, you talk about baseball, like, has all these unwritten rules and stuff. Hockey's the exact same way. And people who don't, like, there shouldn't be fighting in hockey. Like, there kind of needs to be fighting in hockey.
Oh, no. I completely agree with this. And I know what you're saying on this. I'm saying that when Ross Ray retired, they would then sell it out almost like a freak show or almost like a boxing match where they would rent out the arena and it would literally just be hockey fights.
I have never.
There's no fucking way that's a real thing. It's like, that was so out there, and it was like a really critical part of the movie too. And I'm like, this is kind of taking me out of it.
No, I don't think that's, I hope that's not a thing.
It would be really sad if it was.
Yeah. Cause you listen to all these guys talk and, you know, you watch any of the documentaries about these guys, and, like, all these guys grew up, like, they didn't want to do that. Like, you didn't come through youth hockey and, like, peewees to, like punching people in the head. Like, these are all very skilled hockey players, or else they wouldn't be there.
And Doug Glad, by the way, is based off of a real guy. Like, I'm not saying
Walpole.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying all this stuff happened, but he is based off of a real
guy. No, he did wind up, he was, like, a cop, and he wound up playing, like, in, like, minor league hockey, just fighting.
Yeah, I think he got as high as the AHL, maybe, but... Yeah. Yeah, kind of an interesting story. All right, so, Ryan, out of all those movies, what would be, let's see, top three or top five favorite movies?
Okay, so Slapshot is, again.
Slapshot's
is
the one.
That's, take that as read. But I'm going to, in no particular order, I'll go chronological, I guess. Youngblood is a really good hockey movie. Mighty Ducks, obviously, is a good. Miracle is kind of the feel-good hockey movie if you're looking for kind of like that not funny and not, you know, goofy, like the best, like, hockey movie would probably be Miracle. And then Goon would be round up my top five.
Yeah, I think that would be probably my say. I'd go Slapshot probably one. I would go, and maybe just because I've seen it the most recent, like, I liked Goon a ton. So I might go Goon 2, and then I might go Mighty Ducks, then Miracle. And then for me, probably D2, just cutting off Youngblood. Like, so I think I got D2 just over
it. It's like 5A, 5B.
Yeah, like they're both right there with each other. The worst one on this list, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, if you're just going straight up hockey movies, it's got to be one of the Slapshot sequels.
Yeah, I like Slapshot, either one of them. Slapshot 2. Like, Slapshot 3 is like a directed video.
Yeah, it,
like,
doesn't even really count.
Bullshit. Yeah, it doesn't even really count.
I mean, honestly, like, Mighty, so Ducks 3, Mighty Ducks 3 could be on that list, too.
That movie just makes me angry. It's not even that bad. It just pisses me off.
All right, let's do a quick draft. We're just going to... You need three forwards, two defensemen, and a goalie.
All right.
And I will give you the first pick.
Oh, you give me the... Oh, I get the first pick?
Because I'm that kind of guy.
Okay. I'm taking first round. I'm taking Derek Sutton. A forward, captain of the Mustangs, played by Patrick Swayze. Damn. Need a leader. That's your franchise. So 92 goals in the season.
Yeah, that's hard to beat. All right, give me Ned Braden then from Slapshot.
You got Ned Braden?
Yep.
Okay. And my next pick, I just because I want to say this guy on D, from Slapshot. I'm taking Clarence Screaming Buffalo Swamptown. The little play calls his players the Little Scalps. You know, the Native American guy. I'm taking him. Need okay. a little crazy on the blue line.
All right. Let me go with give me Denny Lemieux. Give me a goaltender here.
Denny Lemieux,
who was the best goalie in the Federal League.
Absolutely. Absolutely the best goalie in the Federal League. Next up, I will take at forward Xavier Leflamme.
Ah, I like that one.
Yep.
That's really good. All right, let's go with – this is tough. I'm going to go – I know he's a bit of a puss bag, but give me Adam Banks.
You're taking Adam Banks?
Yeah, right. Give me Banks.
I am going to take on defense. I'm taking Fulton Reed.
Oh, okay. All right.
Kind of like a Johnny Boychuk kind of, you know?
Just yep. I hear you.
Absolute nuke from the bluey.
Give me I'm going to go with Anders Kane from Goon 2.
Okay.
Because I got Banks, who's a bit of a... And I got Ned Braden, who really doesn't want to get deal with all that stuff. So Anders Kane can beat the bag out of people.
Well, that's why at my last forward that I'm going to take is I'm taking Dave Killer Carlson.
Ooh.
From Dave's a killer. Because I got two guys, Derek Sutton can mix it up a little bit, but I need someone to protect Xavier Leflamme, so I'm taking Killer Carlson.
All right. I'm going to go with Dean Portman, just so you can't get the Bash Brothers. Sort of
I'm not
block.
Getting the Bash Brothers. I just need a goalie at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take Marco from Goon.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's my goalie? Oh, yeah.
I thought you might take the Cat there.
The Cat's going to be my backup. Again, she. I haven't seen her play a full game yet.
Yeah.
Other than in D3. So.
All right.
She's only played JV. She came in for one shot against Gunnar Stahl. I haven't seen what she can do yet. So.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the team. She's just not starting. Yeah.
I'll take Huey Hewitt, the defenseman from Youngblood.
Nice.
He was a nice player. Kind of quiet. He wasn't in a ton of the movie, but he's a nice player.
Nice.
So I think my team is set. Do you have one more, or do you need? Yeah, you
no, I'm
need...
set. I got so my I from my three forwards are Derek Sutton, Killer Carlson, and Xavier Leflamme.
That's good.
On D, I got Clarence Screaming Buffalo Swamptown and Fulton Reed. I got Marco from Goon. On my bench will be Julie the Cat Gaffney and Ogie Oglethorpe will be on my bench.
Oh, of course. My forwards are Ned Braden, Adam Banks, and Anders Kane. My defensemen.
You got some skill up front.
That's a lot of skill. Yeah. Then my defensemen are Dean Portman and Huey Hewitt, and my goaltender is Denny Lemieux.
You got a good back wall there too.
That's a nice squad. So maybe we'll post those later on, and you guys can vote on who has the better hockey team. Anything else on hockey movies? Oh, I guess real quick, hockey movies on the whole compared to basketball, football, and baseball. How do you think it stacks up?
It's not as basketball has Hoosiers, obviously. So
basketball
that's
has Hoosiers and Blue Chips and
Blue Chips
White
awesome.
Men Can't Jump. Blue Chips is great.
Also, he got game.
It's got It's got Above the Rim with Tupac.
The Air Up There. The Jimmy Dolan Shake and Bake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to go. My favorite
Finding Forrester.
I prefer baseball movies. I think there are much better baseball movies than there.
Yeah, there's probably more of them. Baseball is pretty good, and football probably has a better list. Basketball and hockey are probably similar.
Golf has some pretty good movies too.
So. I have a quick Finding Forrester story, if you don't mind.
Do you know? Please.
I don't think you were
Everyone's got one of these, but you go ahead. There's a dime a dozen.
This was in high school. I don't think you were there for this, though. It was like me, Woody, Hernandez, and Brad. And we were at the theater. So we were in school, but we were at the movie theater. And it was like the dumpier theater that we would go to.
Yeah.
And so we went to go get tickets for Finding Forrester, but we wanted food, too. And so we got like two large pizzas. Like Pizza Hut next door. Like, so we brought in two large pizzas and two 2-liter bottles. And I think it was Brad had like the pizza in front of him and just put his jacket on top of it and walked straight into the theater. So he didn't even buy tickets. He just walked straight in with Hernandez. And me and Woody are up there buying tickets. And we're like, do we even need to get tickets? Like, they just walked in and nobody said anything to him.
Yeah.
So we get in there. So the four of us are sitting down watching Finding Forrester. And the looks that we were getting from people when we're asking if they could pass a slice of cheese and if we were like unscrewing these 2 liters, it was insane. They never said anything. The theater people could care less. They were just happy we were there.
But
But yeah. I'm like, so everybody's like, oh yeah, can you sneak stuff into a theater? I'm like, yeah, I once brought two large cheese pizzas.
Two large cheese pizzas and two. Actually, so I heard that this is real. Like, there's no. Remember, used to be when you went to the theater, people tell you it's illegal to bring in.
Oh, like your own candy or whatever?
That's a complete lie.
Yeah,
like, that's a lie. It's just so they can sell you stuff marked up there.
Right. Right?
It has nothing to do with, like, health reasons. Remember, they used to tell you, well, if you choke, you know, you can sue the movie theater for blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's not true.
No,
like,
can't.
At all.
But,
yeah. Lies we were told as young people.
Just unbelievable. And we hook, line, and sinker. All right, are you ready for the next thing?
Yes.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Kick, receive, defer, defend a goal.
I will receive this week.
All right.
So there's a movie you can watch. It's on Netflix. It's called The Last Gladiators, and we didn't mention it in the hockey movies.
Cause
it's a documentary.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the love song to the love letter to the goon, the guy who, and what I was talking about before, like these guys all talk about. Like, I was a good, like, Chris Nyland is in this movie, who used to play for the Canadians and the Bruins for a long time.
Yep.
He's a Boston guy, and he's like, you know, he played at Northeastern. Like, I was a good hockey player, like, growing up. Like,
yeah.
This kind of happened to me, and, you know, this is how I could get on a team and stay on a team. So a lot of these guys who get into this life, like, don't necessarily want to.
Right.
But how they, you know, how they stick around in the NHL as long as they do, just being tough and just, like, beating the shit out of people who mess with their teammates. So it's actually a really good view into that life, and it's actually really good. It's kind of sad, but it's really good.
Well, we had a buddy of ours who was the best athlete I'd ever played sports with. He played all three sports with you, football, hockey, and baseball, and just football and baseball with me. He ended up playing hockey at UNH, but he left our senior year to go play in the USHL out in Des Moines, Iowa. And he was, like, a really skilled player. I mean, you'd know more about his hockey game than I would. But he ended up being, like, a fighter out there. And he just beat the shit out of guys and, like, led the league in penalty minutes. And it was – which awesome on its own thing. Yeah. But, it took away from the player, I think, that he could have been.
Yeah.
And it was also a real shame, kind of selfishly, that – this was, like, just before YouTube, and it was, like, just before, like, very easily videotaping things. Because we would get, like, still pictures, and everyone's kind of, like, grainy footage of them. Like, me and Bessie would, like, watch, like, it, like, he would try to send us stuff. But if it was, like, 5 years later, we could have had, like, a highlight reel of him just knocking the shit out of people.
And he was probably, like, the naturally strongest person I've ever met in my life. Like, never lifted a weight. And we told this story in the podcast when he stepped on a kid's chest and ripped his face mask off in football.
Yeah, like, it sounds fake.
He ripped the kid's face mask off of his helmet.
It sounds like we're making that up, but that is absolutely true.
Yeah, like, he stepped on the kid's chest, grabbed his face mask, and ripped the face mask off the helmet.
Yeah, he was thrown out of said game and suspended for the next game.
If I didn't see that with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it either.
Yeah, he said that's bullshit. You can't really do that. Like, but he did. So anyway, there's that. My pick of the podcast is, since we have the big Infinity War preview show coming up April 22nd at Idle Hands, 4:00 in Malden, Mass. Little pre-reading for you. Here's a few things you can check out. You got the Infinity Gauntlet, the Infinity War, and the Infinity Crusade. That is the order in which they were released. Full disclosure, they get worse as they go on. So if you're only going to read one, maybe read the Infinity Gauntlet.
It is
cool just seeing, like, all the characters on, like, a page together. The stories are always kind of out there, you know, like when you have so many characters and you're fighting Thanos and, like, Magnus, and just it gets so out of hand. But it's just cool to see all the characters working together. So that would be the order again: Gauntlet, War, Crusade, if you're into that.
Yep.
All right, Ryan, I don't know what we're doing next week, but I'm sure it'll be good.
It's always good.
You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. We're at Dork Podcast on Twitter. We're dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Also, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. Where can the people follow you?
At Arvon D on any and all major social media outlets.
All right. Thank you very much, Ryan. I will talk to everybody next week.